Welcome to the TNT EdTech Podcast. We know tech. We are your hosts. I'm Scott the teacher.
And I'm Matthew the tech coach.
Hey everyone, welcome to the TNT EdTech Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Nunes, with
Matthew Ketchum.
Ooh, you could follow me on Twitter at Mr. Nunes Teach. And where can they find you, Matthew?
At Matt EdTech Coach.
Nice. And you can follow the TNT EdTech Podcast where?
TNTEdTech.com or your favorite podcast player of choice, including Apple Podcasts. I love Apple Podcasts.
Right. And leave us a review. That really does help. It helps other people find us through the algorithm there and lets us know what you think of the content as well. So keep that in mind. But also on Twitter at TNT EdTech and now YouTube at TNT EdTech. Yeah. So if you missed a live episode, check it out on YouTube. Matthew's doing a great job of getting those up there. And then a week after our live show, then we post the episode. So you know, we're doing our best to keep things on Tuesdays, but life happens. I think especially right now, many educators out there can relate to things shifting and changing rapidly at times. So we definitely had to switch gears a little bit yesterday, had to move to today. So thanks for being patient with us. Remember, if you want to participate in the chat, which we encourage you, if you want to ask myself or Matthew a question, or have us battle it out on something randomly, like Google versus Microsoft, make sure to give StreamYard permissions if you're on Facebook. Otherwise, on Twitch and Twitter or Periscope, you can go ahead and just leave your comment, and we'll be sure to share that out with the rest of the audience.
Scott, what does that mean? So when they click in their social medias, like for this live thing, like a permission will pop up?
For Facebook. So Facebook requires it. So you have to go, and I should have this memorized already. I think it's facebook.com/StreamYard to allow it. And then we can show your posts.
Sweet.
So that's kind of nice. Makes it a little more interactive, and we get to showcase you, the listener. We really appreciate you tuning in and supporting our work. It means a lot. And we want to make sure we're delivering great content. And hey, so many of you have great ideas and you're experts in your own right in the field of education. So we want to hear from you too.
Yeah, I think one of the favorite things about this podcast that we both like is we both learn a lot by being
part of it. Oh, so much, so much. Some of these episodes I may even listen to two or three times. I know when we had Catelyn Tucker on, that was one. I think her and Matt Miller, I definitely listened to for sure twice, if not three times or more. That it was so jam-packed, I couldn't get it in one go, and was taking notes, and it still wasn't enough. There was so much there. So definitely go back, check out those episodes. If I remember later, I'll pull up the number so you can kind of expedite that process there. I can also throw it in the chat.
Speaking of Catelyn Tucker, I think you had a really good article that you found.
Yeah, let me go ahead, share my screen, and pull up that article. So one of my big things with 2021, because 2020 was quite a challenge, and 2021 is not slowing down anytime soon. I have this article, let me make it big here, from Catelyn Tucker and her blog. It's titled Farewell 2020. And I did this little series on Education Today about not only surviving 2020, but thriving in 2021. So I'm still all about that. And now we're entering the third month here of 2021. I know that fatigue and possible demoralization is setting in for some. And I feel you, all those out there that are struggling, right? We typically have our own sets of challenges that we normally deal with, but especially right now. And in this article, I want to point out some key pieces. So Catelyn Tucker has this on her blog. Once again, it's titled Farewell 2020 Lessons Learned, and it's from December 31st, 2020. So she talks about her experience, and right away, she's talking about my favorite thing, relationships. So I'm going to zoom in here, and hopefully we can see a little bit better. I'm noticing it's a little small. There we go. So she says relationships need to be our number one priority, and I couldn't agree more. I'm all about relationships. This podcast would not happen without relationships. We rely on these relationships to bring you the content that we bring you because it kind of sparks thoughts and influences our own journey, and these relationships recharge our battery. So I think that's huge. And I noticed myself, just like she's saying, my interactions or lack thereof with people, especially in person, has really taken a toll on me. And so I've been doing my best to foster online relationships, really keep those going, to kind of be full steam ahead in that regard, and to even try and do in-person, safe and responsible, socially distanced interactions. Our state's pretty strict over here in California, so we have to be really cautious with all of that. Another thing she talks about is...
Can I share a little bit there? So. Yeah. My dad was sharing with me, he's retired, and his retired buddies, once a week, they would always get together for McDonald's breakfast. And because of COVID and social distancing, they still all get their coffee there at McDonald's. They park in the parking lot, take out lawn chairs, and socially distance with the lawn chairs, and they're still meeting up.
No, that's so cool. My brothers do that. They have a small circle of friends, and they all get together in somebody's backyard, and they're socially distanced, and they're wearing their masks, and they just kind of hang out, and it's like a chill spot for them. And I think that's really cool. It's neat. And going on, she talks about providing a non one size fits all experience, right? So my experience, your experience, your dad's experience, that's not necessarily going to work for everybody. And you may have to try some things out, just like we're trying with the podcast. We're trying this out. I really like this new format, and I really like how you've been able to share it back out on YouTube. I think it's nice to see it both in the visual format and nice to see it in the audio format too. And she talks about students being capable of self-directing their learning. I think this is huge.
That's big.
We need it. So we share this out within our own positions with different strategies when we went back in the fall. And I'm still encouraging this. I think when you place students in the driver's seat, not only does it take a huge burden and load off of you, it empowers them and they invest in their own learning. They're attentive, they're engaged. They're more dynamic, and I just love to see what comes from these opportunities. So keep that in mind, and it may seem super risky, and you know, if you jump all in right away and you try and do big things like a giant PBL, yeah, super risky, but start with the this or that option. Student choice, student feedback is another thing she talks about, and how learning must have a social component. Every interaction you have, every time you're in class, you should offer up some collaborative social part, even if it's a quick chat in the beginning, quick chat at the end. I know some people would say, hey, don't do it in the beginning because then that chatter kind of continues. Say, do what works for you and your students. Figure it out, play around with it. If something's not working, switch it up. Don't be afraid to switch things up right now. And here's my number one right here. Number six, work is a rubber ball. So she talks about all these other things we do in life, like our familial relationships, our friend relationships. She talks about our health and kind of our spiritual commitments and how those are more like glass balls. Like if we drop those balls, they're going to become fractured. You're going to have to repair them, but work is very much like a rubber ball. And all you bosses out there, kind of close your ears. it's something that, you know what, you can recover from, right? You might lose some steam, you might lose some inertia, but you can recover from missing out some work or slowing down on work a little bit because our batteries are getting so drained. We need to refuel in order to come back to do the important work we do. And every educator is important. All of you matter. Sincerely, I mean that. Educators are amazing. I had no idea until I got into education all of the behind the scenes work that educators all around the world make look easy. And that kind of works to our detriment too sometimes. And then lastly, she talks about student agency, but I wanted to get back to kind of what you had up too. You have some cool tools. I see Amanda's joining us. Welcome, Amanda, another California teacher and MIE expert.
Fantastic.
Welcome, Amanda. She says, say it louder. I don't MIE remember which expert. Part. Oh.
Are we MIE experts? I think so, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we Yay. Are. Cohort 2, straight repping. Yeah. So Amanda's in our cohort 2. So shout out to cohort 2. We have Tammy Dunbar, Heather Winsler as well, Rebecca Hunter, and I know I'm missing a bunch of people. It's the end of the day. Forgive me. yeah. A lot of great people in that organization for sure, which I encourage everybody. Hey, even if you're a Google person, Microsoft is really stepping it up. Like I just sent you that thing this morning.
Yeah, that's pretty Matthew. Cool. Share what you
found. Oh, I don't have it up. I think it'll take a while. But essentially, if you go to Word Online, if you're in a collaborative document, what you can do now is you can block editors from editing a certain block of text, which is so cool. So if you've ever collaborated on a document and you put in like the perfect thing, right? And you're like, this is perfect. And somebody messes it up, right? I know I've had that happen on collaborative Google Slides. You can now block other people from editing that segment, which is so cool. It doesn't mean they can't comment on it. They still can. They can offer up suggestions. They can still see it, but now they can't erase it, which is awesome. I think that is so cool. I think that's really going to just encourage more people to use Word Online and collaborate. I already love their transcribe feature, and I like Immersive Reader and how it syncs with everything, and I like how Flipgrid is playing with everything. I really like PowerPoint and Presenter Coach and that kind of app, Smash. I think it's super cool. But what were you going to share out? You had some cool websites and a cool little tech tool you were going to share out.
A couple items here. Let's see. Let me share my screen. And let's do this. So I would click on share screen and share screen again. All right, here we go. Am I sharing?
Yep, I got you. We got the.
All right. So
can you see it up there? Owl Labs.
Cool. The first thing is owllabs.com. And with some school sites or districts or educators trying to figure out on hybrid distance learning where they have a class team and a home team trying to teach at the same time. This is an interesting product. It's 360 degree microphone and web camera, and it follows you. So the educator can be moving around freely, and I'll show you in a moment the product. But this is what it would look like for the student. They would see the educator, but they would also be able to see a panorama of the room as well, and the students and anything in the room. And this is how it would look like if you're using Zoom or Meet or Teams. This is the camera feed that goes out, which is kind of neat. So I wanted to show that. But this is what the owl looks like. It kind of has an owl kind of look to it. Okay. as well. Oh, there's
Max.
There's Max. That's right. So this is kind of interesting item here, especially with distance learning. The one thing I really like is that this stays stationary, but no matter where you're at, it will be able to follow you. And it kind of does that soft zoom in to you as well, which is pretty neat. Another item I think is pretty neat is a really portable mobile document camera. So as you can see, it's folded here in this picture. And with this, it unfolds. So it's very portable. It's pretty small. You can fit it in your pocket almost. And it can show a full size piece of paper, like a 8.5 by 11 or a legal size document. I was pretty impressed. But this part right here at the top can also flip to be a web camera. So you can flip this and then you can show yourself. You can flip it back down, show the authentic document that you have underneath or the object as they show here within the web camera. And it's USB. You just plug it in. And the only app it needs is a Chrome extension. So all it does is has extension. Yeah, it's pretty neat. And this thing is only like, I think like 80, 90 bucks. So for document camera prices, it's a pretty good deal. And it came in pretty well. I tried it out. It's not something we're going to kind of stay with a different vendor for our document cameras, but it was interesting to try out and innovative idea. And then a couple other items to share with you is kind of speaking to that student engagement. These are things that, you know, a teacher could create a game or different choices for the student to do and have different games for those different choices and activities. But this one's called EduCandy. And you can create some classic games like, you know, memory, matching up.
Sorry, Matthew, I messed up your screen. Share yours again.
Oh,
Here it is. Here we go. I fixed it.
Perfect. So this was called EduCandy. And this one, you can create some classic games, as I was mentioning. But it does have that memory and kind of matching games. But one that I really like is Flippity.net. And you might have seen this before. They've always had really neat activities you can use with Google Sheets. You kind of build a Google Sheet within their little activity modules. And it uses that to create an app, a web-based app. But they just added board games. So from a Google spreadsheet, you can create a virtual game. And in that spreadsheet, you get to label out what each square does when a person clicks on it. You get to pick the different game pieces and the colors. Is really customizable, but you can create these unique games. So they could click on maybe roll a dice. It comes with a dice here, and you could roll it and go in a certain square, and that might have a certain activity for the student to do or a certain video to watch or a little reading passage that they have to do. So pretty neat. You can link to anything to these squares, so you could even have a square be a flip grid, like you mentioned. So I think that's a neat addition to the Flippity.net.
Really cool. I remember using the locks on there as part of like a digital escape room. So really cool, versatile tool. It's been around for a while now, and it just keeps growing and growing and getting better.
It does. You're right.
Yeah. Really cool. I'm going to share my screen now. I jumped the gun. I tried to get it ready in the background so I could just switch to it. So
I
found this nifty little thing. It's the Molecule Air Mini. So I'm focusing on the one on the right. If you have Amazon Prime, it's on sale for $2.99 today only. It's one of those deals. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get one of these bad boys. So I have really bad allergies, as Matthew knows. So this is something I can use even post-pandemic. Basically, anytime I go outside, I'm a wreck. But one of the key differences with this air purifier is it goes beyond HEPA filter filtration, because those types of filters, my understanding is they just trap the molecules, the virus molecules, whereas this works to destroy them. And so I know there are many teachers out there struggling and contemplating, like, you know, I have to forcibly go back in a hybrid, high flex, or face-to-face teaching model now, but I'm not ready. Like, maybe I don't have the vaccine, or, you know, I'm still high risk, or I have high risk family members at home, right? There's a whole slew of reasons why you may not want to go back, but you're not really given a choice. Maybe your choice is simply work or quit, which is not really a great choice, right? When we as teachers, we're deeply invested in our community, our students, and we want to go back as safely as possible, but that decision's been kind of taken away from us. What you can do is, granted, it's out of pocket, but you could get one of these, and it claims to eradicate 99% of the virus within 4 hours and about 90% within an hour. So I think that's a great addition, a great support on supports that districts are already offering. So if you want to splurge a little bit, $2.99 on sale tonight on Amazon.com. And, you know, I'm not getting paid or affiliated with Amazon or Molecule in any way. Just a cool little thing I thought I would showcase and share out a little bit. And then the other one, talking about cameras, I have this beast here. So let's see. So I have a swivel. Very cool. Last week, correct me if I'm wrong, we were talking about Skilled Space.
That's
which
right.
Is one of their affiliated companies. And while I'm getting this out, I'm going to showcase. I like the way you explained it. How do all these little things work? What are these, Matthew?
So
how do they work?
They're dongles, but the one on your the one that doesn't have a colored that one you would keep on yourself, and the swivel device in a moment that you'll show will rotate and move to follow you. But the ones with the colored on the dongles, you could put those at, let's say you did different small groups of students, you could put them on their table and it will record the audio from those small groups. Cause as an educator, you can't be in every conversation or small group at the same time. So you can hear the learning that's going on in those small groups and review it. So this all records, the swivel will record into a video for the educator to review later.
Yeah. Think about tying it in with John Hattie's work, visible learning and micro teaching, right? You can micro teach by reviewing your own videos, or think if you're in a hybrid model or even face to face, right? You could upload this video later. And let's say there's a really good student model that comes about from that, you can share. And then what I really like is how you can mount this on like a tripod. Yeah. And then that makes it super sturdy. And Keith Picard was sharing out with me how he takes it out in the field when he's doing teaching. I'm going to forget the proper title for his position, but he teaches ecology and goes out to rivers and streams and he's checking out everything over there. And then, you know, this follows right along. And I know he was requesting a 360 water version in one of our chats on Skilled Space. And I thought that's great as a swim coach. Like, wow, imagine if you could put that dongle on a swimmer and maybe each wall you put another dongle and this is down at the bottom. You could really capture their stroke and really fine tune it. And then I was even talking about like bringing that into an AR model or VR model, and then comparing it with a perfect model, or maybe not perfect, but a better model. Somebody like Michael Phelps. Like, what if you had yourself swimming next to Michael Phelps, and you could see the differences? It does help that his wingspan is pretty long and he's super tall.
You would just place your own device on that slotted area.
Right. Let me showcase that.
And then you would have a swivel app on that. And this actual unit is the thing that's tracking with the dongle that you have on. One thing that we used last year Our district has several of these that can be checked out to sites or teachers. But one thing that we did last year is one of the sites had a guest speaker, but they only had him at lunchtime and they didn't have it for the other periods. Mm-hmm. So they actually used the swivel because the guest speaker was walking around in front of the classroom and moving around. And it was on a tripod, like you said, but it gave a really good recording of that guest speaker that the teacher could put the video in Schoology and let the other periods be able to see that video. I thought that was a neat way to use it.
Yeah, so cool. That's another Catlin Tucker strategy. I call it bilocation. I don't know what she calls it, but essentially whenever you're going to say something, you know, especially if it's EDI based and you're going to essentially say it to every period, record it, then upload it to your LMS or put it on your Google Drive or your Microsoft OneDrive, and then share it out with the other periods. And typically what I would do when I was really with it, I would record it when I got to school. So I'd be in the same outfit. Everything was just right. And then I would actually have that ready to go for first period, second period, all the way to seventh period. And what that did was it allowed me to be more present for that feedback piece, for that role as facilitator. And students were a little more independent. Yes, it's me giving the lecture still, and I would give it, you know, in the same exact way. But now there's two of me. There's support me and there's EDI me. And I think that's really great use of the technology. And how much cooler would it be with an owl or, you know, a swivel, right? You're just increasing the production value of it. A cool little pro tip that I got from Mike Lawrence earlier when I had him on Education Today was he was talking about like using improv and using like little motions. And it makes me think about all the YouTube influencers that do that, right? They're so animated. So that's a pro tip for teachers. Like if you want to be a little more engaging, watch some of these great influencers that your students are following and mirror what they're doing, because that's, you can be interactive. You can bring props, right? Which, right, I got my prop. I'm still drinking. Shout out to Tisha Richmond and her husband Russ for this amazing mug. This thing is beefy, and I've been using it every day this week to sip on my coffee. So loving that. He is quite the craftsman, and that is one of a kind. So I'm honored to have one of those authentic Richmond mugs.
That's neat.
I feel like we're missing something. Was there anything else on our agenda? I think that's, I had one other thing.
This month we're going to be in our school district working on together is the virtual field trips.
Yes.
And I think you had a virtual tour.
Yeah, I had a virtual tour. Thank you for reminding me about that. Let's go to the virtual tour. Here we go. So this is from the Smithsonian. Ooh. I think it's a great little spot, you know, check out all of the offerings that museums like the Smithsonian are offering. I was chatting with a social science coordinator, and I thought, you know what, let me showcase this so I can just click on this and move forward, and I can use my arrow keys and really examine this tomb. And this is just with the arrow keys right now.
That's a great virtual tour.
And then this kind of reminds me of Thingalink, where you can then add in some textual information, and it's like you're really there. Now, is it the same as being in person? No way. But I don't even know that you could get this close realistically. I guess you can in this exhibit, which is so cool. But I think of so many other exhibits, you know, where you really can't get that up close, or it's behind that protective glass. Like I think back to when I went to the Louvre in France there and saw the Mona Lisa, and the glass that they had it behind was so reflective. I couldn't even really take it in. Wow. And that thing is tiny in comparison to other works of art. You know, I don't know the exact size, maybe like an 11 by 14, something like that. Somebody chime in in the chat if we have any art experts out there. But really cool. And I can use my mouse and navigate. And I went through this thing a bit the other day. There's some stairs over here.
That's pretty neat.
It's pretty cool. And then you have some other stuff. And you can also get some of these tours in Minecraft, too, which is super cool. You can get replicas of the pyramids and kind of go explore. And I think that's a great space to examine, too. I've been looking more and more into creating virtual spaces for students that mimic and mirror a little bit more of that real life experience when you're in like a hybrid model or complete distance learning. I think those will help that social aspect a little bit. Now, it's not perfect. Nothing can really replace these in-person experiences, right? Just like with the in-person conferences versus the virtual conferences. I've been doing a lot of virtual conferences lately. Did TCEA, forgive me, IdeaCon, did a couple for that. Did CSLA, and then did COSIN today, which was really cool. Accomplished like one of my dreams. Got to interview two CEOs, one from Clever and one from Identity Automation. So shout out Tyler Bosmany and Jim Harold. Tyler Bosmany's with Clever, and I love their story. How was one of Forbes' top 30 under 30, right? I always love young entrepreneurs, right? Having been a young entrepreneur, even though I didn't make it, I want that for students, right? I want that experience for them. I think it's a very rich and exciting experience to try. Of course, not everybody can make it to 30 under 30, right? There's only 30 of them. And there are many other great entrepreneurs too. But one of the key things that stuck out to me in his journey was that he and his co-founders, Dan and Raphael, which you should follow all of them over on Twitter, really cool dudes. They're not too far from us. They're in San Francisco. Oh. And so about 70 miles from where we're at in Modesto. And they grew Clever from supporting four schools to 1,000 schools in a summer, just like this exponential growth. And I think right now the educational environment is prized for that. And I know there's a lot of containment. I kind of feel like the teachers feel it, right? Like now's the time to try stuff. So I'm encouraging all the educators out there, tech coaches, admin, to, you know, be risk takers. Don't do anything that's going to sink your ship, metaphorically speaking, right? But, you know, take little risks and then build and learn from those successes. Approach it with design thinking. So explore, ideate, construct, and then kind of go back through those phases with, you know, the ultimate goal of bringing people together and making them better and better versions of themselves, if not the best version of themselves. I think that's what a lot of teachers want for their students. And, you know, right now everybody can get all the help they can get. And so long as you're trying, hey, that's all anybody can expect right now. It's a tough environment out there for sure. Yeah. As we close, any like last piece of advice, Matthew, for the audience?
Have a good night.
Yeah. Get some sleep.
It's a rest up. Night.
Yeah. Do something that recharges your battery. Yeah. Watch a show, play a game, call a friend.
There you go.
Hang out. Yeah. Scroll like crazy on Twitter, Facebook. Yeah. Yeah. And make sure you follow the podcast on the podcast player of your choice. Subscribe. Leave us a review on Apple iTunes, if you would. Check us out on YouTube now at TNT EdTech, as well as TNT EdTech on Twitter, where we're most active on social media. And where can they follow you on social media, Matthew?
Is it right here? Let's see. Right,
yep.
Matt EdTech Coach.
Yeah, and follow me, Scott Nunes, at Mr. Nunes Teach. Thanks, everyone. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the TNT EdTech Podcast. You can follow us on any podcast player of your choice. Also on Twitter at TNT EdTech. Follow us on the web at www.tntedtech.com.